We're living in exciting times, and it seems that the entity known as the Islamic State are really fulfilling a lot of Bible prophecies which have their fulfillment and their reference to the time immediately before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in earlier episodes in this series, I've explained that the Assyrian Empire is kind of reforming geographically, in terms of culture, in terms of its essential beliefs about Israel, in terms of the Islamic State, or ISIS. And I've also had a look at Bible prophecy about the beasts and Antichrist and the little horn of the beast, and try to demonstrate that these people that are known as Islamic State are fulfilling, it seems, many of the requirements of those prophecies. And I mentioned some time ago, when Islamic State first came onto the radar, that they were going to focus more upon Israel, and particularly upon Jerusalem, because so many of the latter-day prophecies speak specifically about this invasion of Israel at the hands of some entity that's comprised of her immediate neighbours, and particularly they talk about Jerusalem being taken. And what we've seen in just really quite recent times, the last month or so, it's really come to my attention that the Islamic State are talking more and more about Israel and an invasion of Israel and Jerusalem in particular. Let's get it clear. Zechariah is very clear that Jerusalem shall be taken and the women raped, etc., half of the city go to captivity and so forth, and the majority of Jews living in the land of Israel will die. And then the Lord Jesus Christ returns, appears in glory upon the Mount of Olives. Unfortunately, this is going to have to be fulfilled. And what do we see? We see an entity that has the capacity to bring this about, now starting to talk about doing just that. Now, in recent ISIS publicity material, we're reading things like, not one Jew will be left in Jerusalem. And that's part of a hashtag that's being sent around Twitter by these guys, behead the Jew. There is a call for an intifada of the knives, encouraging stabbing and beheading of Jewish people. Now, many of the ISIS videos end with the presenter drawing a knife, and the knife has become a symbol of this organization. Uproot the state of the Jews, they talk about. And actually, they keep on using this word uproot, and they use it about uprooting other, even Muslim, even radical Muslim entities, such as even Hamas, because they say that they are not radical enough in their position about Israel. And I'm going to come back to that later. Their usage of this term uproot, and they seem to keep on about this. They also say to Israel, and they've just produced their first publicity material in Hebrew, so that Israeli people get the message, we will advance against you from every side, from the north and from the south and from Sinai. And already ISIS are known to be active in the Gaza Strip and in the Sinai Peninsula. I bless the jihad, the holy war against the Jews, these presenters and imams say. We shall bury every Jew and the bone of every Jew in Israel. Going to come back to that one. A victory is coming to the Mujahideen, the freedom fighters, as they see it, of Al-Aqsa. That is the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. So we're going to go through these things that these guys are saying and have a look at how they pan out in terms of Bible prophecy. Now, this is no new thing, because the founder of the Islamic State, Al-Zarqawi, who was the head of the Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which sort of morphed into the Islamic State. He had stated when he spoke about an Islamic State, a caliphate, that this includes Palestine. But what we're seeing is this increasing focus upon Israel and Jerusalem. In the latest material, they talk about Palestine as the land of Al-Masra. And they have opened a specific, what they call institution, the Al-Masra Institute, or Al-Masra Foundation, which they're saying is their front, if you like, to take Palestine. And Al-Masra, what does this mean in Arabic? It means the flight. And the reference is to Muhammad's journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, and then his exit, his ascension, supposedly, from the Temple Mount in Jerusalem to heaven. And that's why they're now referring to Palestine as the land of Al-Masra, and they are encouraging their fighters and all their people, all Muslims, to join in emulating the flight, the journey, the Masra of Muhammad from Mecca to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is now really up front in their thinking. Well, I was talking in an earlier episode about the new coinage which the Islamic State has issued. I made this point that you, strangely enough, don't see any reference to Mecca. You see instead the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Muslim holy place of Jerusalem, and a lot of reference in the symbology and the artistry on their coinage is ripping off Israeli coinage, as if to say, we are the new Israel. And the focus is on following with Muhammad to Jerusalem and away from Mecca, which of course has got its political undertone, because Mecca is in Saudi Arabia and the Saudis are bombing the Islamic State. They've fallen out with each other. And so they don't want people to be focused on Mecca, because that's out there in Saudi. That's not within their self-proclaimed caliphate. Instead, the focus is upon Jerusalem, increasingly in their theology that you can see expressed in their magazine, Dabiq. You can see this emphasis upon Jerusalem. Now, I want to talk about the significance of knives. We've heard a lot about stabbings in Jerusalem and in Israel, stabbings of Israelis. And as I said, the hashtag behead the Jew is now quite common and is being widely distributed by Islamic State supporters. In the Hebrew language, in biblical Hebrew anyway, the Hebrew word that's translated knife is the same word translated sword. It's the same idea. So quite often when you read about a sword in the Bible, it may not mean a sword as we might imagine it, but it can equally mean a knife. And of course, you will be aware of all these videos of ISIS beheading people with knives, particularly Christian people. And in Revelation 20, we read that there will be those who will suffer in the last days the fate of beheading. Now again, I've spoken about this in a previous episode, but beheading, cutting someone's head off for apostasy, is only known in Islam as a proper religious act. That according to Islam, you can behead apostate people. There is no other religion on earth that actually stipulates that. So then this fate of beheading in the last days, well, ISIS are certainly ticking that box, and are suddenly looking like they're going to be fulfilling that requirement in the last days. Esau. God said that Esau would live by the sword, and the Bible says Esau is Edom. And Edom, you could say, refers then to the descendants of Esau, the Arab peoples that surround Israel, as it now is. And they will be characterized, Genesis 27:40 says, by the knife, and living by the knife or the sword. In the prophecy of Ezekiel, we have a prediction that there will come a great invasion of Israel in the last days, around the time of Messiah's coming and the establishment of God's kingdom on earth, where all these people will pour against Israel wielding knives. The AV says in Ezekiel 38 verse 4, handling swords, all of them handling swords, but equally sword, as I said, means knife. All these people wielding knives. And that is ISIS. That is exactly the stuff that you see in their videos. That's exactly how they're behaving. Now, it is God, oddly enough, who says that I will call for a sword or for a knife upon my people. Who's calling for a knife against Israel? Well, it's the Islamic State. But you see, God is working through that. That's why if Israel repent and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as God's Son and Israel's Messiah, all this stuff would come to an end. And that's why we should be witnessing to Israel. We should be out there talking to Jewish people, engaging with them. Because if Israel repent, when Israel repent, in fact, finish, all this is over. Now, repeatedly, God says, for example, throughout Leviticus 26, when we've got the blessings and the cursings against Israel that are outlined, he says that he will bring a knife or a sword upon his people. And you've got this organization called ISIS, Islamic State, who are calling for what they call an intifada of the knives. It's out there, hashtags on Twitter and so forth. The intifada of the knives, the swords, if you like. Significantly, Ezekiel 35 verse 5 says that Edom, and I've said that Esau is Edom, the people who shall live by the knife or by the sword, the Arab people surrounding Israel, shall slay Israel with the sword or with the knife in the time when her iniquity has an end. That is in the last days. At the time when God's judgment upon Israel for their sins comes to an end. When they will no longer suffer a result of their sins. And that is the time immediately before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. At that time, Edom will attack and slay Israel, the Jewish people, with the knife. Check it out in Ezekiel 35. And that's why the prophecy then goes on without seam, I would say, into Ezekiel 38 verse 4, saying that a whole company of these people from all around Israel will come and attack her wielding knives. Or as the AV says, rather wrongly, in my opinion, in the translation, handling swords. So, in response to that invasion of people all wielding knives or wielding swords, God says that he is going to intervene, and he says that he will call for a sword or call for a knife, this is at the end of Ezekiel 38, against those who have come against his people wielding knives. Because what they did to Israel shall be done to them. And that is a major theme of the book of Revelation and of the latter day prophecies, that what Israel's invaders and abusers do to her shall be done to them. So you can see then why this repeated symbolism and usage of knives amongst the rhetoric of the Islamic State and amongst the fighters of the Islamic State is to me so significant. It really does seem to me to be a sign that at last we are coming to the very last days. Now, I may be wrong. I've been wrong in the past. I may be wrong again. But he who shall come will come. And we've got to be ready for him. Now, also, they have pronounced a jihad. Again, Islamic State have pronounced a jihad against the State of Israel. And you know, Joel 3 verse 9, in the last days, sanctify war. Proclaim a holy war against Israel. Wake up the Gentiles around Israel. And that this will all be part of the final invasion of Israel that is the precursor to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and Israel's Messiah. I mentioned to you how the Islamic State are talking about coming upon Israel from every side, from the north, from the south, the Sinai Peninsula, etc., from Jordan. And what that means is that Jordan, the country of Jordan, is either going to lose its current government and become radical, or likely will just be taken over by the Islamic State or people like them with a similar mentality. Now, this emphasis, which there is on coming from every side, this is exactly what you find in the Bible prophecies. Ezekiel 36, verse 3, predicts that Israel will be swallowed up on every side in the last days by Edom, Esau, the Arab peoples. And elsewhere, her invaders in the last days are likened to a beast with a huge mouth that closes around Israel from every side. So then, this language that's being used about from every side is so significant. And I said that the Islamic State keep on about uprooting. We are going to uproot Israel, and we're going to uproot Hamas, and we're going to uproot every other leader or power block within the land promised to Abraham, so that we can have power. And this language of uprooting, of course, triggers immediately memories of Daniel 7 verse 8 that talks about the final wicked last horn uprooting all of the others. And of course, there's many Bible prophecies that talk about Israel and Jerusalem in particular being uprooted because they have rejected God's Son. You can look at my material online and see the string of references, but there's at least seven Old Testament prophecies that say that Israel shall be uprooted in the last days, and Islamic State arise and start using the very same language. We are going to uproot Israel. Now, also, I mentioned that Islamic State have been talking about burying every Jew in Israel and burying the bone of every Jew. And that makes us think about Ezekiel 37. We've talked about how in Ezekiel 35 and 36 we have a reference to the latter day invasion of Israel and destruction of Israel by Esau or Edom, the Arab peoples that surround her. And then we have this vision of the Valley of Dry Bones, and Ezekiel is told that these dry bones represent the people of Israel. And the wind or spirit, because in Hebrew, ruach, it means equally wind or spirit. The wind or the spirit will come into those bones and they stand up on their feet a great army. Well, I don't personally believe that this talks about the return of Jewish people to Palestine or Israel in the second half of the 20th century. Because that the revival that's spoken of in Ezekiel 37 in the Valley of Dry Bones is associated with a spiritual revival. When you read about the Spirit is going to come into them, well, you've got that in Ezekiel 35 and 36 and also in Jeremiah, talking about how in the very last days, God's Spirit will come into his people when they enter the new covenant with him. And Israel in the 20th century did not enter the new covenant. And the Jews who came to Israel, to Palestine, made Aliyah and formed the state of Israel, these people did so in unbelief. And that is not required by Bible prophecy. What Bible prophecy requires, in terms of this vision of the dry bones, is a spiritual revival. That's what it's talking about. And it says that all these dry bones are in the valley, with the article, as if this is the valley, you know, the valley we all know about. And there's a great earthquake when the Spirit comes into them. Well, the valley, what is that if it's not the valley of Armageddon that is spoken about in Revelation, in Joel? And the earthquake, well, isn't that the earthquake then of Zechariah? That after Israel have been destroyed and after Jerusalem has fallen, gone into captivity, then there is an earthquake when the Lord Jesus Christ stands on the Mount of Olives. The earthquakes, talking like we all know what earthquake this is talking about. So the earthquake of Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones prophecy, the earthquake and shaking that is associated with the Spirit coming into the bones of Israel, this is the second coming. I suggest, therefore, that Valley of Dry Bones with Israel apparently cut off and finished and over and done, this is the picture of immediately after the fulfillment of Zechariah 14, when Jerusalem has fallen, the majority of Jews in the land have been killed, and the Islamic State have literally buried, as they see it, the bones of Israel in the land of Palestine or Israel. And then Jesus comes, and those people, those Jews who have just been killed, rise. Literally. Why not? Literal resurrection. Associated with a spiritual revival. And then, in Ezekiel 39, after this great invasion has been destroyed, you read of Israel burying the bones of their invaders in the valley. What valley? The same valley as you had in Ezekiel 37, because these prophecies of Ezekiel from 34 up to 39 are seamless. This is one presentation, if you like. The chapter divisions are unfortunate. So in 37, you've got the valley and the earthquake and Israel's bones buried there, and it seems that's over and done with Israel. Finally, Israel has come to an end. And then the Spirit of God comes into them. They arise a great army. Notice that, a great army. Why? Because God is going to use them, those resurrected people, to destroy the armies of their invaders. And then they bury their invaders and their bones in the valley. In other words, they do to their enemies what their enemies did to them. And that is a major theme of the Old Testament prophets and also the book of Revelation, that what is done to Israel is going to be done by Israel to their invaders. So I may be wrong, but it really does honestly seem to me that what's going on now with the Islamic State and the language they're using, the ideas that they've got and the policies that they're now quite clearly pursuing with this al-Masra front, this desire to take Palestine, to take Israel, and particularly Jerusalem, this is all coming together. Now, whether or not I'm right, or whether or not you believe this or don't believe it, point is, we shall all die, and yet if we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall rise again and live forever in his kingdom on earth. And I really encourage you to get a free Bible with commentary from us. We send a hard copy out anywhere in the world, or PDF, quite easy, and be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have been baptized, make this your life, not a hobby, not just something you do now and again because it's mildly fascinating, but make this your life and give everything in us to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ and his second coming. Thank you.